The Cubs close out a 5-4 winning road trip on the West Coast, and Jameson Taillon is returning to Chicago to start against the Marlins. We're going to preview that series as well right here on the Setup Man podcast. Setup Nation, welcome into the Setup Man podcast. All my real Cubs fans out there who were with me on the live stream yesterday, that was a ton of fun. We're trying to do basically a live stream on every road trip this year. For those of you that can't get to those games and just want to have a community to watch with, I appreciate everyone jumping on. And how about Hayden Wisniewski yesterday? That was so awesome to see. By the way, looked it up, his first time throwing at least four innings of no-run ball since his major league debut when he had five innings of no-run ball. The closest he got to that before that was actually September 1st of this last year, where he threw 3 1/3 innings against the Reds. He was electric that day. I remember that one. And he, of course, gave up no runs on that. But first time since his major league debut of at least four innings, no runs. Very impressive. Guys, make sure that you're commenting and subscribing as you're watching along with me, especially because, and make sure you hit the like button too, if you're on YouTube, if you're on the podcast, hey, make sure that you're subscribed and leaving a review on there. I am excited about this 5-4 West Coast road trip that they just came back from. And one of the big things that I'm excited about was really this could have gone a very different way. Let's take a look at the numbers. You've got an offense that did not show up and you've got a pitching staff that really did not produce. And you still came out 5-4 on this trip. Check out these numbers. Offense, 224 average, 284 on base, 394 slugging. That's pitiful. 678 OPS, and somehow they still found a way with all of those stats to score over 4.5 runs per game at 4.7. The pitching, on the other hand, 80 innings total, 4.61 ERA. They walked 41 batters in 80 innings. Just can't do that. The good news is there was only one walk in the final game of this road trip, so they hopefully are righting the ship on that. And 76 strikeouts, which once again, I'm just like, hey, cool. Strikeouts are cool, but unless you're getting results, they don't really matter. 12 home runs in 9 games, which, you know, I guess you can live with, but also you want to see that go down as well. Now, some of the bright spots, because there were bright spots. Ben Brown, 10 2/3 innings and 0.84 ERA. That's a 0.84 ERA in those 10 2/3 innings. Cubs won both of those games. Nico Hoerner, 27 at-bats, especially turned it on at the end of the road trip. He had a 333 average in those 27 at-bats, 888 OPS. And you have Mark Leiter Jr., 4 games, 4 1/3 innings, 0 earned runs. And once again, I just want to talk about the fact that this road trip, a lot of you out there are like, well, hey, the Cubs could have gone 7-2. They could have gone 6-3. Yeah, but they could have also gone 3-6. This is a road trip that honestly, you look at it and you say, yeah, they let the first game go against the Padres, which was just a heartbreaker, right? Up 8-0, lose 9-8. And then you have this crazy offensive outbreak and the pitching can't keep up in the Diamondbacks series. One out away from sealing a, what was it, 11-10 win. And then they end up losing 12-11 in extra innings. That was tough. That was really tough. But they also won two games that they probably had no business winning. And I'm talking about the Sunday game against the Mariners, where they were up 3-2 and just the bullpen kept walking every single guy that was coming in. They escaped that somehow with a 3-2 win. And then the first game of the Diamondbacks series, where they're down to their final out. Nico Hoerner on a wild pitch somehow goes from second all the way to home. And they end up winning, even though they just missed so many opportunities to tack on more runs. They still win 3-2 in that opener against the Diamondbacks in 11 innings. So, you know, a lot of you are going to look at this glass half empty. I'm looking at this glass half full. I'm happy about a 5-4 road trip. I said to begin this road trip that I would be excited about a 5-4 road trip and I would be okay with a 4-5 road trip. So here we are. And now coming back home, you've got Jameson Taillon returning, and that's something that I'm extremely, extremely excited about because this starting rotation needs Taillon's help. They need second half Taillon's help. And so today, the expectation, I would say, 75 pitches. He threw 68 in his last one. Maybe they push him to 80. I don't see anything over 80, probably not an innings thing. It's probably a pitch count thing. 4 innings, maybe you get out of him, maybe 5 innings if you're really lucky. And I would expect, just because the bullpen is now rested, yesterday they only used Wisniewski and Smiley for 2 outs. I see the bullpen being rested, but I also see maybe just another shot for Keegan Thompson to come in, throw another 2 or 3 innings, and hopefully shut down the door right after Tyone at least keeps you in the game, right? You can't really expect too much as the guy is coming back from an oblique injury. He's barely seen any game action, and so you're going to get what you get out of Tyone today. But moving forward, what we really want out of Tyone is 2 things, consistency, and to me, it's innings. Last year, Jameson Tyone in 2023 was not consistent. In his first 14 games, you can see it on your screen here, 63 2/3 innings, a 6.93 ERA, an 870 OPS. That's not going to cut it, but I'll tell you what, the last 16 games were incredible. 90 2/3 innings, 3.38 ERA, and a 6.59 OPS. Lefties last year, as you'll also see, had an 854 OPS and a 652 OPS. So I don't want either of those. I'm not saying, well, we don't need either of those versions of Tyone. I want that last 16 games version of Tyone, but we don't need that from Tyone. We need innings and reliability. What's he going to do every single time out there? He's going to go out there. He's going to throw 6 innings. He's going to give up 2 or 3 runs. Cool. That's consistent. You're getting paid $17 million a year. You need to know what you're getting out of a guy. Going out there one game, throwing 4 innings and giving up 7 runs, and then the next game going out there and throwing 8 innings and 1 run. Cool. 8 innings, 1 run. I'll take that all day. But the inconsistency is what really was frustrating last year with Tyone. And he found something in the second half, and he just needs to bring that in. And by the way, he was also paid to pitch innings, and 14 games in his first 14 games last year, only 63 2/3 innings. That's also not what you're getting paid for. So if he can do that, if he can come back and be the 5 to 6 innings per game, every single game, giving up 2 to 3, maybe 4 runs in those starts, well, you're getting about 170 to 180 innings, which you want, and right around a 4 ERA, and I'll take that. And I got interested for a second here because I was like, okay, I wonder if Tyone has been this like extreme first half, second half type of guy in his past as well. And I looked at his 2022 with the Yankees, which is now up on your screen, and it's actually the exact opposite. So really what happened here is we see Tyone put together really a full season from the second half of 2022 to the first half of 2023 of just a uncharacteristic, really bad version of Jameson Tyone. Because in the first 13 games of 2022, he had 73 1/3 innings pitch. He had a 2.70 ERA and a 6.73 OPS. In his last 19 games of 2022 was when things just blew up on him. 104 innings pitch, a 4.76 ERA, and a 7.39 OPS. One note you'll see at the bottom here, left-handed batters and right-handed batters were pretty much the same from an OPS standpoint in 2022. So in 23, when he was at this really extreme, almost 200-point difference between the two, that was uncharacteristic for Jameson Tyone. So what I take from this is I want to see, I don't have to see the 2.70 ERA in the first half of 2022 and the 3.38 ERA in the second half of 2023. I don't need that good. But I also don't want 4.76 or what was it in 2023, 6.93 in the first half. Somewhere in the middle, just give me consistency, give me the innings, and figure out lefties. If you can figure out lefties like he did in 2022, you know, he even said it on the Foul Territory podcast. He was like, I was just going out there in the first half of 2023 and overthinking everything. I was way too much into the metrics. And for that reason, I think when he figured it out, when he just said, hey, I'm going up against the Yankees, I'm just going to go in there and I'm going to feel good. I'm going to feel what feels right. That's when he took off. So if he can just do that again and just get out of his own head, I think you're going to see a really good version of Jameson Tyone. And we are going to preview the Marlins series right when we come back from this break. How would you like to win a Cubs autographed piece of memorabilia? Steven won a Matt Shaw baseball Everett won a Brennan Davis auto, and Matthew won a Luke Little Ball. And we have so many more that we're giving away. Cade Horton, Mark Leiter Jr., Ben Brown, Jordan Wicks, and more. How can you win these? Easy. All you have to do is be signed up for the Setup Man emailing list. Every month of 2024, I'll be putting every single name on our list into a virtual hat and drawing the winner. Plus, every now and again, I'll do some giveaways on my live videos. All you have to do is go to setupman.net, scroll down to the bottom, and put in your name and email. That's it. Sign up for our list, and you'll give yourself a chance to be one of our lucky winners. Okay, we're back at it. We're previewing the Marlins series. Listen, end of the day, this team has to take care of business for these next four games. This is one of the worst teams in baseball, if not the worst team in baseball right now. They lost their first nine games to start the season. They have won four of their last 10, which is a dramatic improvement, but it's still not good. They're 29th in the league from an offensive standpoint in OPS, and they're 27th in ERA. So they can't hit and they can't pitch. So what does that mean? That means the Cubs need a minimum of three wins in this four-game series and ideally a sweep. Just like the Rockies, right? You really, at that point when it was three games against, again, one of the worst teams in baseball, you're like, this is needs to be a series win. That was only a three-game series. But this one being a four-game series, I would say I'm not getting greedy with needing a sweep, but I would like to see at least three games taken. And here's your probables for this series. You've got Puck versus Tyone, and you've got Lizardo versus Shota. Cannot wait to see Shota back on the mound at Wrigley, where he was just electric his first time out. And second time, too, just rained out against the Dodgers. Then you got Cabrera versus Assad. Cabrera has only thrown one game this year, but it was six innings of one-run ball, so it was a good outing. And, you know, right now, on according to Cubs.com, Kyle Hendricks is going back out there against Ryan Weathers, who's also having a solid start to his season. So really quick before we go into Hendricks, three lefties against the Cubs in this series. Cabrera is the only righty. But, you know, the Cubs, I would just say in regards to facing lefties, they're a much better equipped team this year from a lefty pitcher standpoint than they've been in a really long time. You've seen really good at-bats from Michael Busch from lefties. Of course, Bellinger hits lefties great. You've got Garrett Cooper and Alexander Canario who hit lefties great. So I think this is actually, to me, turning out to be a really great start to what should be a very profitable four-game series against the Marlins. But going back to Sunday, I think it's irresponsible for Kyle Hendricks to start games. Look at this streak right now. Four games, a 12.71 ERA. In 17 innings, he's given up seven home runs. Last year, he gave up 13 runs his entire season, and he's already given up seven home runs in 17 innings. That's a new level of bad. And I know we all want to say, well, you know, Kyle Hendricks, he's proven to be able to turn things around. Just look at what he did in 2021, as I have it up on your screen here. His worst streak to date before this one was 2021 in three games. He had a 10-13 ERA, 16 innings pitched, and he gave up four home runs. This is a whole new level. It's a whole new level of suck. And I hate to say it, but Kyle Hendricks has to figure this out in some other way than being in the Cubs rotation. And to me, that really leads to fixing both Kyle Hendricks and fixing the bullpen. And I brought this up in my live stream the other day. I got a really great response, so I wanted to bring it up in today's podcast. I think Kyle Hendricks is actually part of the solution for the Cubs to fixing their bullpen. This is a very unique, very different way of looking at the bullpen, but I think this could work as long as a few things happen. So I'm going to share the first part of this. The first three things that have to happen: Jameson Taillon and Justin Steele have to be healthy. Part of this could work with just Jameson Taillon healthy, but ideally Steele and Taillon are healthy. The rotation would then look like this: Steele, Taillon, Wicks, Imanaga, and Assad. So if that happens, then Kyle Hendricks becomes the long reliever, and you put him in games where the Cubs are up 10-2 or down 10-2 while he's trying to get through all of that, whatever's going on in his head, whatever's going on with his mechanics, whatever's going on. You let all of that get figured out in the games that really are done at this point. No leverage. No, you can just tell after that game that he gave up, what was it, 7 runs to the Padres, and he was just like, I'm just not even close right now. You can see all of the weight that he's carrying with that. So put him in games that don't matter. Let him figure it out there. The fake IL thing, you don't need to do that. Let's just put him in as a long reliever. Let him eat up innings in the bullpen. So recap that. Tyone and Steele come back and are healthy. They're slotted into the rotation along with Wicks, Shota, and Assad, and Hendricks is now the long reliever. The second part of this, Leiter closes for now. For now is the key. Mark Leiter Jr. closes for now. He's the hot hand. You go with your hot hand. He's the guy that every time out there has thrown up a zero. Go with it. Alzolay also needs to figure out his stuff in lower leverage situations. Still see him as a setup man. Okay, he's still got a good ERA this year, low 3s. But put him in that situation that if you give up the lead, if they tie the game, it's not as big of an issue because you still have an at bat or two left. And here's what I say. Ben Brown and Cade Horton come in the 6th and the 7th inning. Now, hear me out on this. This is kind of the unorthodox version. A lot of you were like, well, but Ben Brown has been throwing so well in the starting rotation. 100%. 100%. I love that he's been dominating. But I'm telling you right now, Ben Brown is going to be on an innings limit right now in this season. He has, in his past, I think it was right around 105 innings was the most he's ever thrown. He's not going to do that this year. He's not going to be at 105. He's not going to be at 50. He's not going to be at 150. They're going to probably have him right around 120 to 130. So with him already throwing right around 17 innings already this year, and we're only in April, that's not on pace. If you do the math with still half of April left to go, put him at 30 innings by the end, 30 times 6, that's 180 innings for a 6-month season. He's not going to do that. So with Brown, 2-3-ish innings, kind of like a Keegan Thompson or last year Javier Assad role, where it's higher leverage situations where you need some zeros, go do that. Or maybe just a high leverage situation where it's a 3-2 ball game in the 6th inning, throw them in there, get a zero. Now, that's the Ben Brown side of it. The Cade Horton side of it is that you're bringing him in right now. I know he's in Double-A and you're thinking, why are you going to skip over Triple-A? Go ahead, put him in for one more Triple-A start. Remember, the first part of this fixing the bullpen was that Justin Steele also has to be healthy, and we're still 2 to 3 weeks away from that happening. So in the next 2 to 3 weeks, promote Horton to Triple-A, let him go dominate there, show that he's ready, bring him in, and mold him into what's going to be a closer for 2024. I know it's crazy. I know you're listening here and you're like, this guy's a starter. This guy's going to be dominant in the starting rotation. Think about this for a guy like Cade Horton, the sleeve tattoo. He's a bulldog out there on the field. I met him over at spring training. He's got a winner's mentality. He comes in, right, and he pitches the 7th inning, zero. Next time out, another 7th inning, zero. Maybe the next time out, he gives up a run or two, okay? You work through some things, then another couple of zeros. Okay, he figured out the 6th or the 7th inning. Now let's promote him to the 8th inning. Does the same thing, works through some things, figures it out, few zeros up in a row. Now you look at it and you say, this guy, the stuff that he has, the fastball in the high 90s, and he calls it a slider, even though it looks like it looks a lot like Ben Brown's really tight curveball. That thing is nasty, and he gets swings and misses. So put him in as the closer and think about the confidence that gives this kid to come in and start closing ball games in his rookie season when the Cubs needed him the most. And then in the offseason, you go out and you get that high leverage, top tier closer and move Horton into the starting rotation. The confidence, the fan favorite that he becomes. And guess what? If it all blows up and it doesn't work, guess what? We didn't expect you to be our savior. We didn't expect you to come in and be the best Cubs closer. We expect you to come in and start getting innings and start showing that you can get outs. And okay, so the closer role wasn't for you. Let's move you back into the 6th, 7th inning. Maybe let's even do a spot start with you. That's the worst case scenario in this. The worst case scenario is that he comes up and, you know, he's just not good at all and you got to send him back to AAA. But worst case, if he does show that he can do it and then you move him into closer and then the closer role doesn't work out, that's what I'm saying. So that's to me, that's fixing the Cubs bullpen right now, given what you have. Julian Merriweather is on the IL. You've got Hector Neris, who can't figure out how to throw strikes. Yency Almonte can't figure out from one relief appearance to the next what he's doing. Alzolay is just not cutting it. And Luke Little, who looked like he was going to be really, really solid there for a while, you know, he's put into a couple rough situations. Now he's demoted to AAA. I've got my own thoughts on that and Daniel Palencia. But I do think right now, given the situation of what's actually in the majors and what's coming up, this is your win for the bullpen. And a lot of you are also, well, why do you say Cade Horton as a closer and why not Ben Brown? Well, Brown doesn't get the swing and miss that Cade Horton does. And that's been the issue with Alzolay. He doesn't get the swing and miss that you want to see from a closer. So Cade Horton does. All right. That is where I'm at on the bullpen. Let me know your thoughts. Am I crazy? I don't think I think I'm a little crazy, but at the same time, I don't think I'm that crazy. I don't think I'm that far off. I think that would be amazing. I think that would be a huge confidence builder for both Brown and Horton. And if you like this video, if you like this podcast, guys, make sure that you go check out my video about Albert Alzolay. What is going on? What's wrong with him? Or does it go beyond that? I did a breakdown. I went through a lot of video. I went through a lot of the 2023 video and said, what's different from last year to this year? Go check that out. It just popped up on your screen, or if you're watching / listening on the podcast, go check it out on our YouTube channel. Setup Nation, I'm going to go put my arm on ice. We will see you next time when the Cubs have won 3, maybe 4 games against the Marlins.